living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
How to manage ADHD without drugs. Yes, it is possible. Recognizing the role that hormone imbalances play in developing ADHD may lead to exciting new treatment options. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is the most common type of behavioral disorder in kids. It affects up to 10% between 18 and younger. And here's another percent that I think kind of blew my mind was, although the prevalence of ADHD does decrease as kids get older, 65% still have symptoms as adults. So there is an adult version of ADHD. And over the past, there's been some really good research looking at, number one, this connection between ADHD and certain fats, like omega-3 fats and phospholipids. And I've talked about phosphatidylserine and how that plays a role in treating a wide spectrum of ADHD symptoms. But now we also know that there could be some key hormonal deficiencies that are involved in developing ADHD. It's a complex psychiatric disorder. And so this the thought that you could give somebody one drug, like a psychostimulant, and expect to see all symptoms reduce or go away, whatever, is kind of naive. Again, what we're discovering about the body in general, about disease, is most of these things we deal with are multifactorial. There's a lot of things going on, and we don't fully understand ADHD. We just don't. We know it's characterized by a limited attention span, impulsive behavior, and overactivity, right? And, there's three basic categories that psychiatrists will use. There's predominantly inattentive, predominantly hyperactive or impulsive, or combined, what is called equally expressed. But to be honest with you, if you talk to somebody who treats ADHD in kids, it's really all over the place. It's hard to even categorize most kids. And that just tells me that it's complex. There's a lot of things going on. We don't fully understand it. So I think we need to take a look at all the available research. Listen, sometimes psychostimulants are important. They do work for some kids. But I think we need to take a step back from them and look at nutrition, look at what we're putting into our systems, into the kids' systems through diet and what they drink. All of the artificial colors and sweeteners out there, we really have to avoid those things. And then also recognize that there's good research going on, good research that is showing association between certain deficiencies of certain fats, phospholipids, and hormone imbalances. And maybe if we start addressing those, as well as psychostimulants, maybe we can use less of the drugs or get them off the drugs faster, whatever it may be. But I think since it is a complex disease, it's going to take a complex treatment regimen. We don't know the causes. There could be genetic factors that seem to be involved, environmental factors. I think it's some of the processed foods, some of the dietary things we're doing to our food chain today is playing a role. But the root cause is still pretty much unclear at this point. Now, even though most studies on environmental factors have found an association with ADHD, no solid evidence even exists there. But we're starting to connect the dots a little bit. Looking at essential fats from the diet and hormone deficiencies, and believe it or not, they are connected because certain fats play a role in hormone production in kids as they're developing. So maybe one environmental connection could be the lack of essential fats, the omega-3s, the lack of phospholipids like phosphatidylserine, which I've talked about before, and that connection to development of hormones as kids are growing. So this is really interesting to me that we've recognized a deficiency in the diet and how that could actually play a role in an imbalance. Physiologically speaking, a hormonal imbalance in the kids. So what I want to do here is I want to focus on the hormones and what the research is really showing us and what we might be able to do for our kids to better control the ADHD symptoms. The medical treatments, by the way, again, I understand that in some cases they have to be used, and they do work in some cases, right? Treatment is usually with the psychostimulants, but, you know, antidepressants are used a little bit. A class of drugs called alpha receptors are alpha receptor antagonists are used. But regardless, the big issue I have, though, my real concern is the side effects. I mean, if you just go on drugs.com, which is a really good website to look up drug interactions, side effects, all that kind of stuff, and put in Ritalin, you'll see that you'll see a whole host of side effects. And these are side effects with this drug that is used a lot in kids that are quite common, 5 to 10%. Dizziness, drowsiness, headache, loss of appetite, nausea, nervousness, stomach issue, trouble sleeping. I mean, these are significant side effects that are occurring at a pretty high rate with just this one drug. Again, If it works and your kid has improved, because some have, I get it. I really do. But I really want to take a step back and I want to look at the deficiencies in the fats and those hormonal imbalances that have developed. So what hormones am I talking about here? I'm talking about DHEA and pregnenolone. Researchers have found that these two hormones are chronically low in children and young adults with ADHD, especially when it comes to the hyperactivity component. So results of a study conducted on 29 boys suffering from ADHD found significant associations between clinical symptoms, the hyperactivity mostly, and low hormone blood levels. In particular, DHEA was well correlated to hyperactivity. So the lower the DHEA in the boys, the higher the hyperactivity. The authors found that the lower the blood level, the more severe the deficiency, the more severe the hyperactivity. And this was from the International Journal of Neuropsychopharmacology. This is a peer-reviewed journal. And so this is real research going on showing this connection between DHEA and hyperactivity. The lower the DHEA, the greater the hyperactivity in the kids. So What can we do? Well, you know, the nice thing about DHEA, I would first of all suggest that you get your child blood tested, right? Just have your doctor check a DHEA blood level. Pretty simple. And from that basic blood test, your doctor can determine whether or not there is a deficiency there and whether or not DHEA supplementation might be a good idea. It is over the counter. And if there is a deficiency, you're simply replacing back what the child needs anyways. We're not talking about super doses, and we're not talking about the dangerous synthetic ones. We're talking about bioidentical DHEA, which simply means that when your child takes it, that DHEA is bioidentical to the DHEA in your own body. So your body knows what to do with it, how to metabolize it. So maybe it's as simple as getting a blood test to begin with. A simple blood test that could look for that deficiency and then talk to your doctor. Pregnenolone also plays a role. Pregnenolone was more associated with inattention. So you have low DHEA with the hyperactivity, and you have the pregnenolone with the inattention, and you can also just do a simple blood test for pregnenolone. And then based on those blood levels, your doctor can decide whether that's an issue for your child. Here's the point. It's a complex psychiatric disorder. It's multifactorial, environmental, genetic, and then our approach needs to be a more multifactorial approach. Consider those omega fats, consider phosphatidylserine, get the blood tested for these hormones and replace them with your doctor, right? If those levels are low. I think that would go a long way in helping kids with ADHD. So this is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.